Great episode today. Just a real solid app.
Oh, yeah.
But for
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's start this episode. It was a fun one. Things did get real. And in case we didn't mention it enough times during the episode, we actually have a live show coming up in Hollywoodland, California, on November 13th, the Hollywood Improv. There are tickets still available, so please check it out. If you live in the LA area, it's a really fun time to come watch us do this podcast live and then hang out with us after.
That'd be nice.
That'd be chill. And wear free undies, wear me undies while you're there.
And tweet it.
Yeah, tweet it at us. All right, let's get started.
Jake and Amir, y'all know who it is. It's Artie and Don.
Yo, that's right. This is a toast to y'all.
Oh, sheesh, y'all. It's a roast.
Y'all, that's right. Y'all getting put on blast.
So what do you say to two Jews that you hate when you got the pinch taking your girls away? Want to resolve things mathematical ways just as an advice Amir gave.
One day when I walked inside in a Starbucks line and when I caught a Don giving me an awkward eye, I struggled to hide my dark night rising up past my thighs. I don't give a fuck if you see it or not. I'm harder than Jake trying to park a truck when he's drunk as fuck, but at least the milkman isn't trying to suck my nuts.
Swiping right with two iPhones. You think it's hard, bitch? I'm a beast in that regard. Me and my match and your loud ass motherfucking barking dog.
I'm stuck in a conundrum that I cannot find my escape from. With a girl with an ass and a tin full of matches, still can't find love.
Ass from here on out, shit's getting real. Questions and answers that are so surreal. Just like getting handjobs in the back of a bus, way out in Israel. New Haven, home of Connecticut's unshaven. And one dad's failed expectation, here to mend all your broken relations.
Across the nation, the mock you, but just be patient. Best advice is when they're beefing, twice a week is worth waiting.
Nowadays, everybody can tell that Kobe in the background. They're lost motherfuckers caught up in advice. Just seeking some advice if I were you, show@gmail.com.
Nowadays, everybody can't tell that Kobe in the background. They're lost motherfuckers caught up in advice. Just seeking some advice if I were you, show@gmail.com.
Freestyle.
Yo, J&A, this is Artie and Don.
Hashtag dope.
They freestyled that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk.
Yeah.
And they did.
Artie and Tom?
No, Artie and Don. It's two Artie guys. I think it's two guys named... Oh, one guy named Artie and the other one named Daniel. But together, they're Artie and Don. Or, as one unit called, Artie and Don.
Artie and Don.
Yeah.
That's a cool last name.
Yeah.
Artie and Don. I'm Jake Artie and Don. That's my new shit.
What do you mean?
I am Jake.
Your last
Artie
name
Don.
Is Artie and Don now.
Artie and Don.
They wrote you a song. You like their
name. I steal the name.
Good song. I want your name now we're even. You wrote me a song. I take your name.
I think that's good.
I think that's both of those things favor you.
Thank I think you every for decision this. You make is selfish.
instead of each person getting one, you just want two things
you
for
take
yourself.
More. You
yeah.
take more. There's no give and take. It's just take, take.
Take and take. Take and Artie and Don. So here's a song, and you say thank you in addition to the song, or to pay you back, I want your name.
Yeah, sort of. I'll do my part. You guys give me a song, I'll take your name.
It seems like a tit for tat thing, but yeah. It's just a tat for tat.
It's just a tat tat.
Yeah, it's a tat for tat for humanity. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake. Artie and Don.
And that was Artie and Don. Every show, every episode starts with a new theme song. That wasn't going to be the plan. We just delayed choosing one until that was a theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We realized that some people would make theme songs.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How
that's cool the best that? Part about having a podcast is that people write songs for you.
And now people started drawing thumbnails for us.
Oh, yeah, for our podcast. If you, when we post to Facebook, if you have a thumbnail, this one guy, August Polite, has just been dominating, doing like original artwork for every episode. So if you got something good, send it to us too at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Whoa.
Do you notice that I'm wearing headphones now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't because you had to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I notice.
And
now I see it.
Thoughts?
It's interesting. You've become
I'm just
a
slowly
full-on audio nerd.
Yeah. At a certain point, I'm just going to stop hosting the show and just just be the engineer, the producer, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God. And I'll get a new co-host.
Yeah. Who are you thinking?
Allison Williams.
Okay. That was so quick. Like you had already thought of it.
Like we're already emailing each other.
So did you approve the Allison Williams idea yet? How does it work? We get emails from people who are in difficult places in their lives. They need our advice, and we try to offer it on this show.
Hmm? We don't try to offer it, we do.
Oh, yeah, and we offer it on this podcast. How do you listen to it? Great question. Well, you're doing it, so you already know.
Way to go.
Yeah,
that's you the nailed
one.
It.
If you're listening to it, the one thing you have in common with everyone else listening to it is that you all know how to listen to it.
There you go.
You all figured it out. The hard part is getting people who can't figure it out. Because how do we talk to them? How do you talk to someone who doesn't know how to use the internet over right. the internet?
How do you talk to somebody you hate?
Yeah. Does anyone try to bring trouble your way?
Just show them a table in WA.
Oh, that's what we can do. We can go door to door.
Just showing them a table in WA.
Yeah.
Right.
So like, I'll come by your house
one day
with a Walkman on.
Yeah, with your Walkman
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I actually caught a guy.
Was he giving you an awkward eye?
He wasn't.
Oh,
yeah. So that's where we deviate from the song. So these are real emails that we're going to be answering from real people, but we're going to give them fake names to preserve their anonymity with your see anemone. Don't make me a friend. I want to be an enemy. What?
So bad.
Extra bad.
Worst you've ever done.
Best you've ever had. Dun, 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 dun. All right, this is a chess question. So maybe the theme today can be chess people. So like this person's name will be Garry Kasparov.
Of course.
Yeah. So Garry Kasparov writes... Hey guys, I'm writing you to ask advice concerning a particularly sticky situation. I'm the undisputed best player on my university chess team, which is great, but there's just this one problem. My girlfriend of 2 years doesn't take my skills seriously whatsoever, and every time I spend hours analyzing my games or studying mid-game tactics, she tells me I'm wasting my life. This has recently bubbled up to an unavoidable apex as I am planning to play in my annual yearly university chess tournament hosted between the two local universities in my city. The tournament is very competitive, and my entire club firmly believes that I am the only chance we have of taking the title home. My girlfriend, however, recently told me that I can't miss a dinner plan with her parents scheduled for that same night, planned out after the tournament, mind you. I have told her that she will have to tell them to switch the date, but she is insisting that there's nothing she can do, and if I choose the tournament over her, we're practically done. What the hell can I do? I feel like I'm a few moves away from being sexually checkmated, while also being pressured by my entire chess club. Is my girlfriend right in giving me an ultimatum? I do admit I breathe chess and practically think in algebraic notation, but I still feel like she should respect my passion. Any advice you can give would be greatly appreciated. P.S. If you don't believe that I'm a beast in the chess regard, here's a snippet of one of my recent Blitz tournament games. And then it's just four lines of notation I can't read. Queen X B5 plus KC8.
Oh, that's
28
a good move.
And
KC8 or KC28?
Yeah, KC8-28. And wow. This is a rook, bishop, gambit. I mean, he has pulling on all the stops.
Wow.
He ended up checkmating it in what appears to be, I don't
checkmate?
Know.
Why don't you check your mate and tell her to check her hate?
Oh, that's good.
Thank you. That's freestyle. See an enemy, I'm an enemy, I'm an enemy, I'm an enemy. You're a joke, Blumenfeld.
You're a joke, man. And not even a joke, man. You're a joke, comma, man.
You're a joke, man.
I'm a jokesman, man. Not a businesswoman. So who's in the right here? Kasparov or his lady?
I think Kasparov. I think he's got a passion. I think his lady doesn't appreciate it or him.
Mm-hmm.
She should celebrate the fact that you want to play in this chess tournament, that you love chess, and I think she's a little duty head. I honestly do.
I think she's a duty.
She's being a duty head. You're being a little bit of a turd burger, but I think ultimately being a turd burger is a little bit better than being a duty head.
This sounds like a sitcom pilot premise. It was just like a huge annual tournament at the same day as my girlfriend's parents' date.
Right.
Maybe he can rush back and forth between the two.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you know what? The third act is the girlfriend It's the girlfriend eating hot dogs in the stands of the chess tournament, cheering him on for dinner.
This is what I see it is. They're at dinner, and then the girlfriend's just really railing into this guy, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so glad he's not at that stupid tournament, right, Gary? You realize that it wasn't for you, that was a child's game," and he stands up and he goes, "No, this is a child's game." And then he checkmates the salt shaker in front of her and runs to the tennis tournament. And when he enters,
tennis tournament?
Like, oh, chess tournament. It's a huge triumphant moment for him because he told his abrasive lady main squeeze to go F herself.
Oh, so you're saying, I feel like we're writing different shows because you're sort of writing a movie where the girlfriend is the villain.
Yeah.
I'm writing like an episode of TV where the girlfriend's a good character, but she's like being a bad person right now.
Yeah.
And she can grow and they can, there's still hope.
You know, it's a good idea. Let's add a character where there's a lady on the chess team. And so he's close to her, but only as friends, you know?
Right,
and she's
right,
like,
right.
And she's like, well, what do you even see in your girlfriend?
Now it's a real movie. I have to write this.
It's called Checkmate. And it takes place in Prague. So Czech is spelled C-Z-E-C-H.
Oh, my God. That's really cool.
So it's about a Czechoslovakian chess player.
And okay. And his mates.
Yeah.
his best mate. Yeah. And he's also a Czech player.
Czech chess player. Czech chess.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? Maybe they have a rivalry with people playing checkers.
Oh.
So the Czech chess people hate the checkers.
Yeah, checkers is their team name, and it's also spelled like
that.
They
only drink coffee mate.
Yeah.
So the Czech checkers coffee mate.
Yeah. factory. So I think this lady is the villain. Maybe, well, let's try to think about things from her perspective.
My boyfriend is obsessed. Well,
if your boyfriend was obsessed with something, maybe chess, maybe something else, and was taking so much of his time, maybe her way of showing it is by saying that it's a waste of time.
Right. It seems like she should stop making that's a pretty grandiose overarching statement. Like, this is a waste of your time versus I think you should focus on some other things as well. Like our relationship, you know, it's okay. Like maybe sometimes people are obsessive and like, he's not giving her any attention and she does deserve attention. That's the relationship. So maybe, well, I mean, we're giving him advice, right? Not her.
Yeah.
She should deal with it differently. And you, if this is happening to you, maybe you, one, say, fuck this, I am in a relationship with chess, not you.
Yeah.
Or two, look, I like you. You have to appreciate my passion.
Two things. One, ultimatums are always bad.
Right.
I think you've said that before. You just sort of have to state your case and let them decide for you. If you do an ultimatum, even if they choose your side, it's because you made an ultimatum.
Yeah. You never want to issue an ultimatum.
Three, what do you think about this for the closing scene of the movie? He wins the chess tournament. Then he goes up to the girl, the friend, right, in the chess team. And then she's like, oh, my God, congratulations. And he kisses her. And then she's like, wow, how did you know I wanted that? And he says, I always think three moves ahead. Then he slides his hand down her. She's wearing like a skirt. And he doesn't finger her, but what he removes is the shiniest. It's almost like, production-wise, we'll dip his wrist in Vaseline.
Jesus Christ.
It is just almost like a woman holding a torch. It is that shiny. His hand is a beacon. I want to say it's a beacon almost.
I thought it was pretty decent up until the move where he publicly rubs her vagina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think he should go further?
I think maybe you're gonna regret saying that.
I'm not even talking about the movie anymore. I'm just talking about as a human pitching an idea publicly. That what you're doing
is describing the public fingering. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel nothing. I feel no remorse, no shame, no objection.
Right.
It's these headphones. I don't know. I feel like I'm in my own
little
bubble.
You're talking yourself off, your heart.
Yeah. I'm shiny myself. It doesn't make sense. Where did it come from? So what should we tell this guy?
I say tell her respectfully that you are going to do what you want to do, that you love chess, and that you would love it if she were on board. And maybe also, just as a little side note, Mr. Turdburger, if you want to just do a little
bit of... Why is he a Turdburger?
I think he could be. I'm speculating, I'll admit that. But I think he's saying, like, I breathe chess, and then he, like, signed his email with four lines of code that he must have known we wouldn't have understood. It shows almost like a lack of awareness
on his part.
Like, yeah, that like maybe not everyone loves chess as much as you do. So dial it back and try to talk to her and show her attention in other ways that aren't chess related. But I'm just saying that as a side note, because I think that your passions should be celebrated in a relationship. I just think there might be a balance, and that's sort of, that's for you to explore, buddy.
What do you think the best amount of passion to show for, like, did you have lady friends that never watched any of your videos, that never listened to any of your podcasts, or like were they somewhat into it, somewhat not? Like, you don't want them to be fans, but you also don't want them to ignore it entirely, or you don't care if they ignore it entirely.
I think I would probably care if they ignored it entirely, if they like never saw any of, because like my work is part of who I am, so I'd want them to like, I guess it's, maybe I'd care most of all if they just thought I was funny in general.
Right.
If I was with somebody that like I made jokes and they were like, "Oh my god, shut up!" I would be like, "Why?
Yeah,
why then are we doing this?"
That's all me.
So like in a way, maybe like them watching my stuff is like, "Hey, I think you're funny. I think your career is valid."
Right.
So that's good.
They at least like it.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily watch everything.
You've been with people who thought you weren't funny at all.
You mean in relationships?
Yeah.
I'm sure in the beginning, everyone has to think I'm funny.
Right. Because,
like, if you don't think I'm funny, what else are you, what are you into at this point?
I especially like a couple of years ago when you weren't even in shape.
I just like your, I don't know, teeth. You're not funny, but I guess I like your, I don't know, what else is there to your, the pie chart that makes up your human body?
I guess maybe in any relationship, like your jokes will get old after a long time.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's definitely like, if you hang out with me every day for 2 to 5 years, I'm probably going to be less funny, right?
Yeah, and then like they're around, like other people are just laughing so hard at your jokes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've heard that one before. Like, he's not that funny.
Oh, man, I have a great story. I wonder if I can tell it. I think I can tell it. It doesn't really matter. I had a girlfriend once, and I was in a car with a bunch of friends.
Was I there?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I think it doesn't matter. But just, you know, being in like a wacky mood. You know, sometimes I'm like on a roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was on a roll, just making a lot of silly jokes. People were loving it. And she was not having it at all. And then I think at one point she was like, "Geez, you really like being the center of attention."
Jesus.
And I was like, "Oh, that's so soul crushing. I think we need to discuss not being together anymore just because of that one statement."
You are like, you're so happy. You're
yeah, I'm at the high.
Like, people are laughing at me.
Yeah.
Another way to look at that is, geez, people think you're really funny. Look at this car full of people laughing. That's,
see, that's what you
way.
Think the first 3 months of a relationship. Like, look at the guy I got. He's making people laugh. By year X, you're just like, all right, I get it, dude.
That's, no, I protect myself against those feelings. That like breaks my heart. It really does.
But now I'm not together with anybody.
And are you happier?
Yeah,
I think you're funny all the time. I've been around you for like 9 years, and I think
that's true.
This is, I still think you're hilarious.
Thanks, dude.
I love you so much. Fuck that
noise.
Fuck that moment where I said I love you so much, then there was silence. That moment sucked. That was the worst second of my day.
By far.
Deflating.
And I stubbed my toe.
It's deflating to say the least. God. The worst moment of my day actually happened like 5 minutes ago. There's spiders falling all over me inside the cabin.
What happened?
Or like outside, I'm trying to wash the windows of the cabin, right?
Of course.
Trying to wash the windows. So I went outside around the back of it and I was scrubbing the windows and I just looked up at this overhang and there were just like, and keep in mind, I'm not afraid of spiders anymore. I know that they're good. And there are 3 spiders in 3 different corners of the cabin that I'm letting live, and I let them spin their webs because I know they're eating bugs, and I think that's great. But under this overhang, there were just so many spiders.
That being said.
And I didn't kill any of them, but I felt very scared and uncomfortable. And my heart was just racing as I'm scrubbing the window, like, get me out of here.
I was fearful that moment.
I was.
Keep in mind, I'm not afraid of spiders, but I was scared.
When they're like individual, I'm not afraid of them. In those kinds of numbers,
yeah,
I don't like them.
I have a fear. I'm afraid. All right, let's go to the next question. Right. Do you have another chess player's name?
Bobby Fischer.
Oh, great. Bobby Fischer writes,
he's an anti-Semite. I don't want to support him.
That being said, longtime listener, first time writer. Yesterday, I found myself in a rather sticky situation. I love doing sick tricks on a trampoline, and I also love to jump on it. I was bored at the time, so I decided to put my mom's favorite cat, he's 18 years old, on the trampoline with me. As I began to jump, Milo bounced violently and tried to get off, but couldn't because the trampoline has a net around it. He was only panicking for several seconds, and just as I was about to take him off, he had a heart attack or something and died. I secretly buried him in our woods and have no idea how to tell my mom that he's dead, mostly because I love my mom and I don't want to make her sad or disappoint her. Help, please.
Of course you need help. I don't want to make my mom sad. The guy's he's just so clear. I love doing sick tricks on the trampoline. I also love to jump on it.
Yeah. I love that's the kind of joke we do. It's like a very detailed thing. And then in addition to that, the vague version of that. Like, I love painting fruits and people. I also like art.
You tortured a cat. You're a cat murderer. It was sort of a friendly email, but you did torture a cat and you're a cat murderer.
But the cat was all...
I like torturing small animals. Also, I'm a sociopath.
No, it's not also. It's and.
And I'm a sociopath. Never tell your mother. You don't have to tell your mother. Never do. Okay, so I'm singing along.
This is like where we deviate from sitcoms. Like, if this were an episode of the Brady Bunch, the guilt of killing the cat will eventually force Bobby or Peter Brady to confess, oh, Mom, I killed your cat by accident.
Like, visited by the ghost cat.
Yeah.
Meow.
It's like, oh, where is she? Did you hear her? No, it's the beating of that hideous heart. It's like the telltale heart where you kill someone and then the guilt forces you to confess. What you have to do is suppress that guilt.
There's no beating heart.
Yeah.
If you can fight that urge to be decent.
Yeah.
You can lie forever.
I think since you are already a cat murderer, it's not a huge ask to ask you to hide the murder.
Yep.
You already did the hard part.
Dude.
You killed a cat. That's so much harder than what we'd be able to do.
Right.
I can't kill a cat.
No, dude.
Now that you've killed the cat.
You tortured it. You a frightened cat on the trampoline. You made it scared.
Yeah.
You also had to have known its age. 18 years old. That cat's borderline your brother.
What? You had 18,
grew up his whole life with that cat.
Yeah.
That cat's been around.
At 18, he's a human for that.
But I'm serious. Lie forever.
So the easiest thing to do right now is to just never tell your mom.
Yeah. What good can come? You have already done the evil thing. I think coming clean and telling your mother that you murdered the cat
is more mean
because it ruins your relationship with your mom. You're forever the cat killer.
Yeah.
At least now you could be like sympathetic. I'm sorry, Milo's gone. I'll go around put up posters. And then maybe you come back from the woods holding his dead body and you say, I found him in the woods, Mom.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Let's give him a proper burial. I love you so much.
Mama.
There's Mama. I found him in the woods, Mama.
I found him.
Milo, run away, Mama.
It seemed like he was shocked, like someone kept bouncing him up and down. Not on a trampoline, Mama, but maybe on something else.
Something else, Mama.
Like a bungee.
Let me cheer you up, Mama. We'll go on the trampoline, Mama. Come on the trampoline with me, Mama.
You know I like to do
You're not getting off the trampoline. Shut the door. Bounce, bounce violently.
Kills his mom. He's a trampoline killer.
You murderous demon.
Is there anything to the nice, obvious advice of you have to come clean. You have to tell your mom.
But then what good comes? Like, Milo's not going to come back alive. Then the mom's like, okay, my cat's killed. My son killed it. He's a sociopath. He took the cat onto the trampoline and tortured it. Lie forever.
Lie forever.
That's my advice. Lie forever. That should be, I really would like to see that on the t-shirt.
Oh, what t-shirt?
On the T-Public, on a t-shirt.
Oh, lie forever?
Lie forever.
Maybe that'll be the name
of this
episode. Lie forever,
just like Milo. Yeah. We'll lie in the woods forever.
Rest in peace? No, lie in peace. You'll get over it. The guilt will not tear you apart. Mm-hmm. I guess I would also do the same. Why would I confess?
Yeah. The damage is done.
Yeah. So that's two lie forevers and zero tell the truth.
There we go.
We are raising a generation of terrible humans.
Here's
but
a
hey,
fun pun. The telltale fart.
Oh, that's good. And he keeps hearing that fart.
Yeah.
So he kills, okay, another movie or a TV episode. He kills a really gaseous, gluttonous guy, like a guy that eats ribs, and he's just like eating burritos, and he's
Yeah.
Then you, I don't know, hit him over the head with a shovel or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's dead.
He's dead.
He buries him under his floorboards.
Right.
And then he has another guest over, or his wife comes home.
And it keeps on little toots.
Yeah, yeah,
toots.
But she can't hear it.
Oh, but
it's underneath the floorboards. It's like.
That's...
And he can't take it anymore. It's not the sound, it's the smell.
Oh.
Yeah, like and it turns out he's actually decomposing but down there, so that makes sense. We're good at improv. All right, one more question. No, no, sorry. Let's get one more question before the break.
Nice.
We need another guy's name, a chess player.
It's a fucking real tall order when you came up with this.
I got one.
Who?
Deep Blue.
Who the fuck is that?
That's the machine, the IBM machine that Kasparov played in chess.
Awesome.
You want to know something funny?
Yeah.
Like Kasparov won once and then the machine just destroyed him.
Every single
like,
time?
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, the machine's better. Obviously he's better, he's a machine,
right?
Sorry,
that makes sense.
We're at the point where they're better than us, get used to it. Okay, Deep Blue writes, a couple months ago my girlfriend asked if I would have a threesome with her and her friend. Her friend's a fucking whore, and of course I said yes. Since then we've done it a couple times, and I'm starting to notice that it's mostly girl on girl. The last time we done it, which was about a week and a half ago, I noticed that my girlfriend mainly focuses on her friend and not me. They're into some crazy kinky shit, and I'm starting to worry if she's doing this to let me down softly because she's a lesbian. Do you think I should end it now or continue to have these fucked up threesomes with these two smoke shows? Thanks, guys, and a huge shout out from Dublin, Ireland.
All right.
Love
Dublin.
Deep Blue.
Dublin up in Dublin.
Nice. Dublin down.
Yeah.
So?
It sounds like you have an awesome situation going on and you're being a little bit of a bitch. Like, my girlfriend's not paying attention to me during our threesome.
Yeah.
Fine.
I would love to be ignored during a threesome.
So you pay attention to the friend and then you're having a threesome.
Yeah. And she's not letting you down softly. That's the nicest way to do anything.
Right.
I wish people let me down softly by giving me a threesome.
Dude, this is amazing. She's like, so maybe she's bi. I don't think she's a lesbian if she still wants you to be involved.
Even
right?
if she's a lesbian.
It
what's the alternative?
Matter. Yeah, just
saying no.
You know what? I'm done. You're not paying enough attention to me during the threesomes.
You should have just broken up with me when you had the chance. But to do it like this with a threesome, that's actually incredibly nice. I do appreciate that.
The low blow.
How many threesomes would you go to? Is there an end to the amount of threesomes as you get phased out of the threesomes? At a certain point, you're just watching your girlfriend hook up with another girl.
Which is fucking dope. So until they like full on don't let you into the room during the threesomes, keep going.
They have to lock you out for you to say, okay, we're not in a relationship anymore.
Yeah.
And at that point, hey, at least you've already had the maximum amount of threesomes.
There you go.
Because threesomes... they're not a right. They're a privilege.
For sure.
I'm 31. I haven't had a threesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. And what if it your chances of having a threesome probably go lower every year, right?
By the second.
Yeah. Every day I don't have a threesome is another day I'm closer to death without ever having a threesome.
So if you're listening, ladies, and want to have a threesome... with old granddaddy Blooms here.
I mean, I never had a threesome in my day. Putting on my mouth guard.
That should be the new, like, hey, if we're both single when we're 35, let's just get married. It's like, all right, if neither of us have had a threesome by the time we're 35, let's just fucking...
So
I would have a threesome with you.
Oh, no, not that kind. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I know what you want, but I'm just saying.
The offer's on the table.
Yeah.
Me, you, and another dude.
Right.
Yeah. A lemon party of sorts. So, sir, I bet you're young, and you think that if you can walk away from this threesome, and another threesome will happen. You hear this all the time in the NBA, like, oh, I was in the championships at age 19, and I just thought it would always happen, and it would always be easy, and then, oh, I'm 36, I'm retiring, and I never got back to the playoffs.
Right.
Easy come, easy go. So why don't you come on those hoes? That was so...
degrading.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Misogynistic, chauvinistic.
I was unspoken, uncalled for, actually. It was very spoken, unfortunately. So your advice, what would you do if you were him?
Keep on having threesomes. I can't believe I have to fucking tell you to do that.
Is there an amount of threesomes that you could have that you would say, all right, I think we're done here?
No.
I guess it's hard to say. You could probably get desensitized to everything, but if you're not having threesomes currently, then you can't even fathom an end. It's like when you're really hungry and you see a lot of food, you're like, oh, I can eat this forever. But soon you'll get full.
I guess so.
And then that food will look disgusting to you.
That's not how threesomes work.
Yeah.
That's not how sex works, I don't think.
I'm infinitely insatiable when it comes to my appetite for that threesome.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a threesome?
Fuck yeah, dude.
How many?
I couldn't lost count.
Two.
I lost count, but only because I didn't count the first one or the second.
And that's all I had. Pro, good, anything bad?
Nothing bad about it.
There's
at
nothing
all.
Bad about a threesome.
Yeah, and if like somebody was paying like not enough attention to me, that would be fine because I could stand there and watch, and it would be fucking incredible.
The worst part about the worst thing that could happen to a threesome is that two ladies are having sex in front of you.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, the worst part about a threesome is the best part about my life.
I think the worst part about a threesome would be like coming too early, and then you're like, ruined the fun because it was could have been like. An awesome experience for everybody, and you like got too excited, you nutted, and then you're like,
yeah,
okay,
how do you avoid that? Like, isn't it the most sexually exciting thing in the world? And then how do you possibly contain yourself?
Some people can't live up to the pressure, man.
That's why they don't deserve to have the threes.
For me, that's my time to shine.
That's Tom Brady in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, dude, I'm good in the pocket.
Yeah. Jordan game six. In the pocket. How dare you? I'm more of a immobile scrambling QB. Yeah, a Ty Detmer, if you will. Just put a little pressure on me and I'll freak out and throw the ball away. Or I'll hold it on for too long and get a sack fumble. Either way, my coach is pissed at me.
So in the threesomes, you're either completely flaccid or ejaculating.
Yeah, there's 0 to 100.
I go from can't get it up to coming.
Real quick. Real fucking thick. All
come right. Forrest. Come Forrest.
You already came Forrest. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again. All the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, Just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapist at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we're back.
We're back.
That was a thrill ride.
For sure.
Yeah. The ads are my favorite part.
Me too.
I know. That's why I want my Oops All Ad episode.
I can't wait. 60. We'll be rich.
Yeah. Like, they have to pay us.
Do we have any shows coming up?
Oh, shit. We should talk about that. Good memory. Yes. We have a live podcast in LA at the Hollywood Improv.
There we go.
On November 13th. We put the information on ifiwereyoushow.com and jakeandamir.com. So please, the first live show at the Hollywood Improv was really fun.
Yeah.
If the second one's not better, then we'll never do it again.
Exactly.
There are still tickets available. So please, please come out for that.
Come.
We're also doing a show at Middlebury University in Vermont.
Vermont, yeah.
Yeah.
November 20th.
Yeah. Or is it the 22nd? It's a Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah. The 20th is the Thursday.
So if you go to Middlebury.
22nd.
Yeah, Middlebury College.
If you live like near Burlington or in Vermont in general, yeah, come.
Please. That'll be another live podcast.
Yeah.
So we're doing one in every major city in America. One in Los Angeles and the other one in Middlebury, Vermont.
Perfect.
All right. Let's get to the last question. Last question comes from a man that I'll call Anatoly Karpov.
Of course. I forgot all about Anatoly.
Must be sad to be the second best chess player ever. Nobody will ever know.
Don't get me wrong. He's still making bank.
Yeah, he's still fucking tutoring for cash on the side. But just if you're not playing Deep Blue, if you're not Kasparov, you ain't nothing.
Is Kasparov rich?
It's Kasparov's fucking loaded. Are you kidding me? Anatoly Karpov writes, I recently started a course in information technology. I met a girl there on my second day, and she came up to me and hung out with me during the lunch break. We had lunch together and got to know each other and became friends. She told me she was religious and attended a youth church every Sunday and invited me to attend one day. I declined because I'm fairly shy and I didn't know her well enough to do something like that with her. Before I left, we exchanged contact information. The next day, we began messaging each other. Everything was normal until she invited me to the church again via the phrase, I think you should know and meet God. This kind of surprised me and made me think that she might be a little too spiritual for me. I'm very sure she wants to go out with me, and I think she's really nice and pretty, but the magnitude of her spirituality is something that makes me a little bit apprehensive to go into a relationship with her. I'm absolutely clueless on how to proceed. Please, guys, share some of that sweet, sweet advice. Love, Anatoly Karpov.
Oh.
She wants to have a threesome too, it sounds like.
Yeah.
With this God character.
Anatoly and God.
Yeah. Just me, you, and God.
You should respond to that text. Sorry, bitch, I am God.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've already met me.
I just think the relationship means that little now.
Yeah. So
you're done.
That's a game ender for
you.
Yeah,
you're done.
You want me to meet God?
She's too... I don't even think she's interested in a relationship with you. She's working for God, baby. She's trying to make as many converts as she can.
She's already cheating on you with God.
Yeah.
She's probably already blowing God at this point.
If we're talking about the threesomes, you are outside of the room. It's just her fucking God.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
God, imagine that.
Can you even? It's like the one time you say, oh, God, during sex, and you're saying the person's name.
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Or she's fucking this guy, and she's saying, oh, God, and he's like, oh, I knew you were talking about your ex-boyfriend.
Stop calling me God.
Yeah. You said his name again. It's tough to say how much spirituality will scare you off, because we don't know. Maybe he's a spiritual guy. But the fact that it gave you pause probably means that it's not a good situation.
Right. I mean, I'm all for if you're religious and she's religious, then you guys sound like you got a lot in common. Go get it. God's not real, but do your thing.
Go meet God.
Go meet the invisible nothing. Whatever. Fuck that shit.
You're anti-God, man.
Just because he doesn't exist. How can I be anti-anything that's not real?
Yeah.
I'm also anti the tooth fairy.
It's all anti. It's anti-matter. As in, it doesn't matter.
I'm anti-hentai.
So what should he do?
I think you should, tell her that you aren't interested in religion. If you aren't. Like, hey, you seem cool, but like, I'm not religious and I don't want to be, and this does not interest me. And then see what she does with that information.
Right. Don't say no. Maybe you can say like, oh, I don't think I want to meet God. Right. I think I'd rather get to know you better.
Exactly. I don't think you have to be like, hey, we aren't going to hang out, but you should probably just be like upfront with her and be like, this is not going to happen. Me believing in God, or me going to church every Sunday or whatever. And then see if she's like, okay, well, I wanted like,
well, what day of the week?
On finding someone who does, or if she's like, all right, well, I still think you're interesting, so I want to get to know you.
Right. So you're just saying, don't cut it off, but at least be honest and say, no, I don't want to meet God, and then see what she does with that information.
I think the stakes seem low enough, and always I think it's probably best to like make your intentions known and then let that person react to that than to assume their feelings and their thoughts and their goals and like react on your own right then and there.
Yeah, it's like the anti-ultimatum stance.
Right.
Don't say do this or else. Just say, here's the facts.
Right. Let's just
and now what do you want to do?
All the information out on the table and you're like, okay, we can make this work, or okay, not going to happen. But all the information needs to be out there. So go for it.
Run for it. Go for it. I'm the same way. If this is all if I were you thing, I can't be with someone who thinks I should know and meet God. She probably thinks I'm going to hell for being Jewish at that point. That's what turns off a lot of people that I know from religiousness. They're like, I grew up in a religious household. And then I went to Sunday school and they said that all my non-believer friends are going to hell. And then she's like, I had like 6 Jewish friends. And they're like, yeah, they're going to hell. And they're like, no, I would rather be with them than believe in you.
That's
I would say that's one way to, if I'm going to give a note to the church, don't tell kids their friends are going to hell. That's not a good way to indoctrinate them. You want to like be as happy and positive as you can.
Well, it works on a ton of people, being that whole being scared shit, straight.
But I feel like they're getting a couple little stragglers. They're letting them loose by that hell thing.
And then then there's too many like atheism and even Judaism is just like, hey, everything's good.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, you're losing out to Judaism, guys. You can snag them.
Come
back.
On, how pathetic is that?
Nobody loses to Jews. You're losing to them. Yeah, nobody ever told me, a rabbi never told me my non-Jewish friends were going to hell, mainly because I didn't have non-Jewish friends.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's the ideal here. Only hang out with your own kind.
Jesus,
I can't be more clear.
You've said so many bad things on this episode. You're a detriment.
That's our take. I don't
know. That's not our take. That's your take.
Oh, right. No, I meant the general don't go
right,
for
right.
it.
Right, right. What I said is my take. What you said is your take.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the take. That's
our takes our take. Are respectively what we said.
Yes.
And you've never had a girlfriend before, but some of them don't want you to know and meet God. You got a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the threesome guy who should strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep doing that.
Fuck it. I would meet God every Sunday if it meant I can have a threes.
For real. Yeah. What a interesting bunch of questions we got today, from cat killers, threesome sinners, and then guys that are, you know, getting to know God. I don't even remember what the first question was now.
How, real quick, how can I get a threesome if I really wanted a threesome? Like, do you have to have it come naturally, or can you force a threesome?
I think it sort of has to, it's like lightning in a bottle.
Like the right things have to align. It's like a lunar eclipse is what it is.
Yeah, I think, well, in my opinion, I feel like relationship threesomes are always weird and bad. So I would avoid that.
Right.
And I think the way to do it is just like, God, just be fucking cool. Yeah.
There's no other way. You're saying I don't have a chance.
Well, you sort of have to have like a girl, maybe like a girl or a guy who likes you and is like sort of trying to court you in a way, like wants to impress you, or somebody that's just like has a like a totally fun, loving relationship, right?
Yeah. And it has to be so casual and so carefree.
Right. And then the third person has to be a little bit of an outlier who's just like,
you always need that X factor, the crazy person.
The person that's just down for anything, who's usually, I feel like, wouldn't necessarily be like a friend of yours as well.
Right.
But that can happen too. I mean, it's only ever going to happen, in my opinion, the best ones are like with three friends or two people who are like sort of dating and a third wild card that would almost suggest it.
What about two girls that are like hooking up and then they're looking for a third guy? Does that ever happen?
I'm sure it does. I mean, that seems even more rare. I feel like also being the person that wants the threesome, you have to be the last person to be asked. You can't be like going up to people and be like, yo, let's try to get this person to have a threesome. It needs to come to you and you need to be like, whoa, really?
You only get it when you don't ask for it.
Right. But you need to also react in such a like a bewildered positive way that they're like, all right, let's blow this guy's mind.
Oh, like you're like, oh yeah, that sounds fun, but I wasn't necessarily angling or thinking about this for a really long time.
Right.
So this is a nice little pleasant surprise.
Right. And then I feel like people rise to an occasion to like sort of try to give someone an experience. So if like there's two people that are like, I'm going to have a threesome with this dude or girl, and she's never done it, and he's never done it, and they're excited. Like, all right, let's make it fucking hot for them.
So how can I do that? I'm talking about me personally, not one as an engineer.
Just saying, you got to, we'll start going on more dates.
Yeah.
Start going out more.
Uh-huh.
And
it's a numbers game. Dance. Yeah, if it happens one in 1,000 nights that you go out, you just got to make sure that the next 1,000 nights happens in the next 3 years rather than the next 20.
I really think so. I think, you know, just keep on hanging, keep on raging.
All right, so let's stop this episode right now.
Let's pregame right now. Yeah. Come on.
It's 2:13 in the afternoon. So if you have your own questions, your own theme songs, your own picture thumbnail suggestions, send it to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. I don't know if we're back on a Monday. Oh, we are back on Thursday. So we'll see you guys soon. Oh, that last, the shit. It's been too
fucker.
Long. The opening theme song was from Adrian Don. And this closing theme song is from Adam Lancaster. So thanks, Adam. Thanks, Adrian Don. And thanks, you guys, for listening. We'll be back soon. Bye.
If I were you. If you were me, we will preserve your anonymity and help you somewhere you'd rather be. If you have a problem, give us a shout. It's kind of what the podcast is all about. Email us in at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Amira and Jake will give it a go. If I were you, if you were me, we will preserve your anonymity and help you somewhere.